and we're going to get right into this. It's amazing book of the Bible, my favorite, and I'm excited to share that with you as we go through it. I'm studying many versions and just reading it again, like almost like the first time, and it's precious. Amen. You know, one of the things that the Lord spoke to me this morning in prayer was our standing comes before the stuff that God's given us. How many know God's given us great standing in Him? And if we're not sure of our position, we're going to have some problems. So God took care of removing all obstacles so we could have a relationship with Him. Last week we were talking about the grace that was afforded us and the fact that Christ made us accepted in the Beloved, qualified us to be citizens of His kingdom. And the difference, we talked about the difference between being set free and made free. And so we're going to move on to verse 11 through 14 this morning. I'm going to try to keep this on. Technology is not my best, but promised myself I'd keep within the time limit, so I'm going to try to do that this morning. Let's read it in Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 11. It says, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestined according to the purpose of Him who works all things according to the counsel of His will, that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of His glory." May God add His blessing to the reading of His word. You know, in the phrase "in Him" appears six times in the book of Ephesians, and "in Christ" 12 times, and "in the Lord" 7 times. So there's something to be said about being in Christ. How many know just knowing Christ isn't going to get us there, or knowing about Christ? It's His position that He gives us. You know, position precedes behavior. Something happened to us when you and I were born again. We begin to understand things we never understood before. We begin to understand things that only you can know by serving God. That's why we find it so difficult to share with someone who has not yet been introduced to Jesus. The word is not clear to them. The Bible says the preaching of the gospel to those that are perishing is like a foreign language. All of a sudden, when we got saved, we began to understand that God had a purpose and a plan and is giving His kingdom to us. If we think that we are constantly having to reposition ourselves to win His favor or to succeed, we run into some problems. God has positioned us in Him and in Christ in the Lord. Verse 11 says, "In Him also we have obtained an inheritance." You know, first and foremost, we are heirs. We are heirs of His kingdom. We are heirs of God, and it is His intent that we walk in victory. Very interesting, in Webster's 1828 dictionary, inheritance is the reception of an estate by hereditary right, the descent by which an estate or title is cast upon an heir. Now, how many know it's a wonderful thing to get things that you didn't work for? Amen. How many know? So a gift is a nice thing to get, isn't it? Yes. And being an heir of an estate or an heir of something speaks of, I mean, we've all had that conversation. What would you do if you had $1 million? What would you do with it? How many have ever had that conversation? Many times. God has given us of His kingdom. We have been given, we have obtained an inheritance. It's not something that we're going to get in the future. Listen, it's not something that's going to happen further down the road. We have obtained an inheritance from God. The kingdom is ours. Turn to somebody and say, "The kingdom is mine." It belongs to us. It cannot be taken from us. We can use the benefits of the kingdom freely because God has given to us as a gift. We didn't earn it. It's by grace. Come on, someone. We use it with the sanction and the authority of heaven. Within the inheritance comes a boldness and confidence to walk free, to walk in authority, and to call things as not as though they were. This was not an afterthought with God, nor was it a reward for good behavior. We don't get a pat on the back for good behavior. It was given to us because of what Christ did. And what he continues to do. This was foreordained by the Father to provide for us all that we need. Just a couple of scriptures about being an heir. 1 Peter 1, 4 says, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you. This inheritance is not something that has to be recharged or re-upped. This inheritance was given to us, and it's powerful every day, every minute, every second, every time we need it. God is available to us. Come on, someone. Isn't it wonderful to know, and we know this by the relationship that we have about being in him, that healing is ours. We know by being in him that prosperity is ours, provision is ours, wisdom is ours. Come on, someone. It's wonderful. I don't have to wait till the 6:30 news to find out what's going on. Because if you look at the things that are seen, they change every minute. I mean, depends on what pundit is saying what. But how many know the word of God does not change? 1 Corinthians 15:50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit corruption. You and I are a new creation. Because of that, because of the spirit man that is within us, thank God for these things that we see, these bodies that we look at, but there's a spirit man in each one of us that's growing more in his likeness every day. And that's part of the inheritance that we have. Come on, someone. 1 Corinthians or Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 12 says that you do not become sluggish, but imitate those who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Through faith and patience, we inherit what God has already given us. And then the second part of chapter 1, verse 11b says, being predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things, someone say all things, according to the counsel of his will. Now this involves what we're going to talk about in just a little bit, trust. But God says that the inheritance, we've been predestined, he's preordained that we would have everything that we need to walk in success and victory. When I found out that my wife was pregnant for our son Jason, I was the proudest guy around. I told everybody. We lived in Indiana, Pennsylvania, and we went out to lunch, and I told the waitress, and I pumped gas later, and I told the guy that was pumping gas, I'm going to be a dad, and I was verbose. We began to plan having. What it was going to be like to have a baby. And so we took a room in our apartment and we painted it and we put all this stuff up and she did all her thing and we got a bassinet and a crib and all things. We made plans. We weren't sure at that time whether it was going to be a boy or a girl. I remember we sat down and wrote a letter to the baby that we didn't know yet. We saved that. Those letters are still available. But we made provision for the baby. How many know God has made provision for us long before we were thought of? That's a good way to understand predestination. Those that say yes to God, God has a wonderful plan for our lives. Provision was made before we were born. The plan was already in place for the Father providing for us. Isn't that good? The path that we are to walk includes the purpose of victory in our lives. I always say, God doesn't get much glory when we fail. God's intent is that we succeed, and we have everything within our reach to succeed. Warfare is covered. Of course the enemy is going to attack. I was having a conversation with someone this week, and he said, "Is warfare ever end?" No, I'd like to say it would, but warfare isn't going to end until we get to glory. Amen. The devil's going to do his job, but he is a defeated foe as far as my word says, as far as the word of God says. And if we do fail, if we do fall down, sin's covered. This inheritance includes the cleaning agent of the Holy Spirit to forgive us of our sin. Yeah. One of the toughest things for a Christian to do is forgive themselves. When we fail, we feel bad. But when God forgives us, he says, let's move on. Proverbs 24:16 says, "For a righteous man may fall 7 times and rise again, but the wicked shall fall by calamity." Even God has built that into the whole process. Says, if you sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Verse 12 in Ephesians 1 says that we who first trusted in Christ should be to the praise of his glory. Now, trusted here and trusted we're about to read, there's two different meanings. This trust in verse 11 says a trust that involved a huge amount of faith because we didn't know God yet. Trust is to hope in advance to have faith in Christ before the manifestation of the promise. And so we trusted God when somebody shared the gospel with us, when we read scripture, however we came to Christ, we had a trust that we hoped for because we weren't sure what we were getting into. How many know we weren't sure what we were stepping into? When I said, "God, come in and change my heart," he took me seriously. Changed everything about my life. And so there's a trust there. Faith drew us to him, and faith will hold us to him as well. We trusted Christ when we knew nothing about him, but he's come through famously. That trust and faith are major parts of our testimony to others that are about to make that step. Jesus has proven himself over and over and over and over again. I only know. Amen. The next verse, Paul says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of the truth, the gospel of your salvation." Now, this trusted is a little bit different, but it's continuing trust and maturing trust with him, knowing that he is what he has done and is doing endears us to him, holds us to him. And this trust in the original meant to be endowed with the faculty of hearing to consider what is or has been said. Trust is to be endowed with the faculty of hearing to consider what is or has been said. God builds his trust daily with us. I mean, no, he builds his trust with us as we obey him. The word of God mixed with nothing. God will always live up to his word. The word needs no supporting evidence or human approval. What God said, it will come to pass. Now we know, before we trusted, we did not know we were getting into. Now we know what he can do, both by faith and by experience. One of the things I've learned when my hair is getting less and grayer is that I know some things because I've lived through them. Come on, someone. When I graduated Bible college, I thought I was God's gift to the world. You know, I knew everything now. Had a certificate to prove it. But thank God there's growth. There's growth. I went back and listened a couple months ago. I have a box of cassettes I've saved from my first church back in Peekskill, New York. And I was listening to a series that I preached, and I said, "My goodness, man, you have a lot to learn." You have a lot to learn. It wasn't terrible, but it was darn near terrible. But no one in this room can point a finger to God and say that he didn't come through. We trust because of what he's given to us. The lives revealed in the Old Testament shows us the very opposite of not trusting. Men like Noah and Isaiah and Jeremiah and Jonah and Esther, Queen Esther, how her trust in God had to be solid because she went before the king, risking her very life to save the nation of Israel. How many know God always comes through? Verse 13, the second part of verse 13 says, "In him, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." God sealed us with the presence of his Spirit. Amen? Amen. A presence of his Spirit. The step it took for us to trust Christ and those afterward have proven successful to us, and he sowed it within us by the Holy Spirit. He sealed us with the Holy Ghost. I thought about in 1982, I don't know if you remember, Tylenol was poisoned on the shelf in 1982. How many remember that? You used to be able to get Tylenol in a snap thing. You just snapped it off and ate the pills. Well, after that incident, it was sealed so that when you bought it on the shelf, you knew that nobody had tampered with it. Come on, someone. Nobody has tampered with our lives unless we let them. That seal is by the Holy Spirit. The only one that can take that seal off is you and I. So may we never say, God, we can handle it on our own. I can't do anything without God. Amen? The inheritance that we have is an eternal one. His mercy has caused us to walk in him, and he's sown it within us. Sealed. We're not sealed with a hope, or not with a letter of affirmation, not with a feeling of security, but sealed with the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Verse 14 says, he is the guarantee of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession to the praise of his glory. Some of the most comforting words I've heard from God is, I've got this. God's got this covered. Not very theological or very highbrowed, but he's got it. We are guaranteed a place with God when we leave. The inheritance is an eternal one. No matter what we go through in this life, heaven's reward awaits us, you and I. The inheritance is an uncreated promise. The inheritance is not in a promise spoke out of God's mouth. The inheritance is God himself. Thank God for the word of God. He said, my word will never pass away. But it's because of the embodiment of God, the one that we live in and he lives in us. It's the very essence of the Spirit of God that was left with us at his ascension. The promise is secure because the grounds of the covenant have been covered by God. Jesus met every requirement of the law. Aren't you glad? And I read just the Ten Commandments and I say, how could man ever fulfill all of that? We know the Word of God says not to covet. I have a hard time with some of that. Come on, someone. But I know that God's got that covered for me because Jesus was the perfect sacrifice and he met and exceeded every requirement of the law. Bible says he met and exceeded every righteous requirement of the law was met by him. The passion God has for his creation said, not only do I love you and I want to have a relationship with you, I want to give you of the kingdom. And the only way I'm going to be able to do that is to leave myself in you. Thank God that he exists in us by the power of his Spirit. Jesus said, I and the Father will come and live in you by the power of his Spirit. Aren't that wonderful? So you and I are covered. God's got it taken care of. We're listened to. Whenever we speak to God, God listens. Come on, somebody. I went to the Social Security Administration this last week. Just I had some questions because I'm nearing the time when Social Security is going to be real to me. And so I went to the office over in South Bend and had to take a number. And I sat there while many people, it was very interesting. How many have ever just watched people? So I sat there and watched people for 45 minutes. But I'd never have to wait on God. While I was sitting there, I was talking to the Lord. The Lord was speaking to me. Isn't that wonderful? There's no waiting line. So we're taken care of. and God provides for us. Why? Because He's going to take care of what He owns. Come on, someone. God is going to take care of what He owns. He's going to be careful to supply for us all of our need according to His riches in glory. Amen. I have just a few questions listed there. This is not meant for, we don't have to cover everyone. I want to hear from you, but somebody tell me what your definition of an heir is. What's the definition of an heir? Don't everybody speak of it once now.
Somebody who receives something by the relationship to somebody else.
Receives something by what?
Their relationship to someone else.
A relationship. Yes.
It's an inheritance received from somebody that you didn't have to do nothing from. For. Or from.
That's exactly right.
Entitlement.
It's a gift.
Entitlement.
What do you mean by that?
That you have a right to what they are giving, what they have for you.
Amen. Amen. Neat stuff.
I mean, no, we don't have to ask permission to use it. It's ours for the using. We need to change the way we pray. We need to thank God for the ability to do, for the boldness to be, for the confidence to walk in Him. Not ask God, could you please give me the wherewithal for today? It's already there.
Yes.
What are the benefits of our inheritance? What are some of the benefits of this inheritance of ours?
You can use it to bless others.
How's that?
By giving away what we know, by telling others about the Lord, about just helping people.
What else? What are some of the benefits? Yes.
I think one of the greatest benefits of it is you feel, really feel God's love. You just really feel how much He really loves you.
Benefits of the inheritance, a relationship with God.
Yeah.
What else? How about healing? Come on, somebody. Yeah. There's a healing. We can pray and be healed.
An authority to share what we have.
Wow. Yeah.
We don't have to ask if we can share it. We can just share it.
We can just share it. Amen.
It's a changed life that you have no way of explaining how it happened.
A changed life, a new life. Being introduced to us. Benefits, if we started to talk about the benefits of the inheritance with any kind of deepness, we'd be here for a long, long time. I mean, can you imagine? You imagine? I have all authority over darkness and over the enemy. I didn't earn it. I don't know how Christ did it. He stayed holy and He stayed righteous and died on the cross. He took every weapon from the enemy. Come on, someone. That's shouting stuff right there. I have all authority over the enemy. The only way the enemy has anything in me is if I give it to him. He's a legal expert. But because of what Christ did, the inheritance was great. What qualifications did we need to be an heir?
Be his child.
Life.
Life. Life. We just need to be existing to be an heir.
Yep.
How many have ever did anything to get anything from God? It's what we didn't do a thing, did we? What are the qualifications of an heir? To simply confess with your mouth and believe with your heart. And you shall be saved. Once we step into that salvation realm, it's all ours. Isn't that wonderful? It's almost too much. It's almost, we sound haughty. We sound kind of proud when we talk like that. I don't have need of anything because God's going to provide everything I need according to His riches and glory in Christ. I believe with all my heart this generation is begging to see people walk in the surety and the confidence of being heirs of God. What are some of the things that you have in place for your future? Just in the natural, what are some of the things you have laid up for your future? Anybody got a savings account? What else? Pension, retirement, what?
A will.
A will? A trust? Why do we do those things?
To provide for our heirs.
And provide for our, shall I say it, old age.
No, don't say
it.
Well, you know, God's got this covered for us.
Yes, he does. Amen.
He's got it covered.
Full coverage assurance.
Full coverage assurance. Love it. And we try because we love him so much, we try to pay for it, but there is no payment. We enter into legalism when we begin to try to earn what God has freely given us.
Right.
It's been paid.
Because then we start to take credit and pat ourselves on the back. Aren't I a good Christian, God?
Yeah.
It's a wonderful relationship we have with him. Somebody define trust in your own words. What's it mean to trust somebody?
You can tell them anything if they, you ask them. Not to tell, you know that they're not going to tell. Because you trust them.
That's a good definition. I like that. Because you trust somebody, you take them into your confidence. Anybody had ever had anybody fail you in trust? Every hand goes up.
Yeah,
come on, someone. We've all been let down when somebody said, you could tell me, I promise I won't tell anybody. What else? What's trust mean?
Reliability.
What else?
Have confidence in.
Yes.
Freedom.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Makes you free to be able to trust for everything.
Yes.
Fully surrendering your own beliefs.
That's good. I thought about this when I was preparing this. I thought about the trust fall. Anybody ever do the trust fall? We did it in camp for years when I was a youth pastor. I did it a lot. And what you do is have somebody stand on an object higher, about this far off the ground, and go like this and fall straight back into the arms of six or eight people, that three or four on either side. And we dropped at least two over the years. Ended up having to pray for healing for that person. But that's a good definition of trust. Not being able to see. How many times have you prayed this prayer? God, help me to know. Help me to see what you see so I can project myself in the moment. We don't know what tomorrow holds. Someone says we don't know what tomorrow holds because we know who holds tomorrow.
Amen.
But it's a total, this walk with God is trust, and it grows and it should mature in us because he's never let me down. I always say about God, he's seldom early and he's never late. I don't know how it is, but he always waits to what I seemingly think is the last minute, and he comes through. Someone give an example of trust that was verified in your life. Somebody like give a testimony how God provided for you, that you trusted him and he came through. Yes.
Well, I already told the ladies, but just a couple weeks ago, I had overspent my checkbook, and I just looked at my balance, and I said, Lord, there's nothing coming in for 2 weeks. I don't know what I'm going to do here, but you're going to take care of it for me because there's just nothing I can do. And I took the kiddos to school and I went to look at my, oh, I went to deposit something at the bank or make the mortgage payment or something. And I looked at my balance and I thought, what? So I pulled up the full account and started looking, and there was a random deposit made about a half hour prior to that that I wasn't expecting or anything. And it was just Social Security decided they owed me some money for the past year, so they put it in my account that morning, about a half hour after I said that prayer.
Wow.
And I believe with all my heart it was God going, you need that money today.
Amen.
Just took care of it.
Thank that was just a coincidence.
No, you'll never convince me of that.
Someone else, an example of God coming through. Yes, John.
So back when we built our house, and I know we gave the testimony before, but it was a lot of faith to build while we still owned our previous house. Didn't want to have two mortgage payments going on. The day we closed on we took possession of our new house on Monday, and we closed that same week on Friday on our old house.
Praise God.
Praise God. No double payments in there at all.
Amen.
Praise God.
Yes,
Gary.
1980,
I was asked to work in a Christian school for free. And I was a builder, and I wasn't very successful. I'd just been in business for myself. Anyway, the thought was I was never going to be able to build my own home if I worked for free. But I felt like that was what God wanted. And I told him, I said, as long as there's food in my refrigerator, I'll work for free. The day it isn't there, I'm going to go earn some money. But we didn't run out of food. And the following summer, after the first year of your school, I built my home for $1,600.
Wow.
And when was this?
Completely debt. That'd be 1981.
Praise God.
God took care of me for 28 years working for free in a Christian school. Working hard in the summer, though.
Yes, Danny.
A few years ago, as a farmer, we had a year about like we had this year. Wet, 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 and wetter. And the corn was wet and it wasn't going to dry down. This year, it probably won't dry down. It's going to take a lot of drying. But anyway, I just happened to hear on the radio that Kokomo Grain was going to have a special because they had already told people they were going to deliver a train load of corn somewhere, and they didn't have the corn. So they said they would pay the drying bill if you could get the grain in there by Friday. This was Monday. And so I hung up the phone or I called them to find out the details. And I hung up the phone and I said, God, what do I do? And this is the words I heard, go for it. And that's all I heard, go for it. So I called them up and I contracted. I didn't have trucks lined up or nothing. I contracted 20,000 bushel corn to be in by Friday. And I didn't even ask them what the penalty would be if I didn't get it done. And I could talk all day here of the miracles that happened. I ended up delivering almost 25,000 bushels of corn by Friday evening. And people around got blessed because I was telling them we were going to do it. It was supposed to rain every day, and the ground was wet, and it was just amazing.
It was foggy every day until noon.
You couldn't start about noon.
I mean, just foggy where it drips off of stuff. Yeah. That wet.
The first day I started running, I called my trucker. He said, I got one truck. Meniel's has got all of you. We're going to Meniel's. We're hauling up there. And I says, okay, we'll start with it. And he brought it over, and then he was a farmer too. He had another machine like mine. a pretty good size one. And he said, hey, I'll just run with you. And so that first day he run with me, and then he come in about 45 minutes later, he said, hey, Manil's just released all the trucks. He had like 8 semis. And he said, I'll run with you. We run about 10,000 bushel that first day.
Wow.
And I kept telling guys, hey, it ain't going to rain. We're going to get it done. And it was going around the coffee shop. Donaldson's got a lot per line straight to God. I mean, I heard all kinds of stuff. We ended up and getting done right at Friday evening, right when the time was up. There's a lot of stuff in between there. And this one truck driver, I kept telling him, we're going to get it done. It ain't going to rain. He wasn't saved. He was going nuts. And Friday evening, about 9:30, he was driving the last truck, the last load. He tarped it up, drove down all out of the field, and just as soon as he hit the road, it let loose and rained about 2 inches. He says, that Donaldson's got a tie with God. He knows what God is doing. I heard he got saved because of that.
Amen.
So it was wild, and I looked back on and I thought, what was I doing? Because there could have been a possibility I couldn't have got anything done. If it would have rained that first day a little more or whatever, it had been all over. And I had promised them 20,000 bushel. And everybody thought I was nuts running all that wet corn. It never dried down any of the rest of the year about like it's going to be this year. And so when they run it later, they still had wet corn to dry. And I had no drying bill. The only thing that actually cost me was I was hauling water to Kokomo.
Yeah.
And that's really all it cost me. And they paid the drying bill.
Good stuff. Good stuff.
I keep thinking, why don't I operate like that all the time? Just ask God, take him at his work.
That's right.
Go for it.
That's right.
Yes.
Wow. That's right. Good stuff. Yeah. Good stuff. Well, you know, God is interested in our lives.
Yeah.
He provides for our lives.
Yeah.
That's hard to put into words when we talk to an unbeliever, but we need to remember to fit that in with all the other things. You know, it's not just the 4 spiritual steps. It's befriending someone, having a friendship with them, and letting them know how God has provided for us. One of the things I've been trying to do lately is never say the word impossible. I've taken it out of my vocabulary. Because my Bible says God does the impossible. Everything, all things are possible through God. So there is no impossible situations in my life. Here's what the Word of God says just to close this whole thing. Yes.
In Christ, we are more than conquerors.
Amen.
If my husband is a prize fighter and he goes in the ring and he gets the living snot beat out of him, they give him a $100,000 check, he gives the check to me. And that makes me more than a conqueror. Jesus took it all. He took the beating. He took everything, pulled his beard out, did everything to him.
Yes.
But he gives us his best.
Yes, he does.
We have everything.
You know, I've been thinking all week, how in the world can he love us that much? And it's really broke me down. I'm thinking, wow, look what he's done. Look what our Lord has done already done for us. It's already done. What a God.
Yes.
How awesome he is.
Yes.
How can we just sit quietly and go through the motions and not get excited when we hear some of the songs, like the song our sister sang.
Yes.
I mean, he did it all.
Yes, that's right.
And you got it. It just humbles you and breaks you down.
Yeah.
God, you are awesome and you love us so much.
Yeah, it's such a wonderful thing. You know, when we We find ourselves praying sometimes. You say, God, did you forget? Or God, did you plan? Yes, he planned everything. He didn't forget anything. He left nothing out when it concerned us. He's going to take care of us. Amen? Always going to take care of us. Here's what the Word of God says. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart. If I trust in the Lord with all my heart, I don't have room to trust anything else. Sorry, I love you guys. I love my wife. I love my children. But the only one that I trust completely is Father God. He's going to take trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him. He's going to straighten our path. Amen? Yes. Father, thank you for your great, gracious love to us. Thank you, Lord, that you planned before we were born. You scurried around, got everything taken care of before the world began. You provided for us. You knew what we needed before we did. So God, right now, that means so much to us in the past, but we don't know what the future holds. We don't know what's going to happen 10 minutes from now. But God, again, we re-sign and say we trust you to take care of our lives. The steps of a good man, a good woman are ordered by you. We delight in your way. God, thank you for your purposes and your plans that you're working out. God, we can't close today without believing for those that we're praying for, our loved ones, children, grandchildren, our neighbors. God, we ask you to pour out your Spirit. Bring the prodigal back, Lord. Bring the backslider back, God. Whatever we've done to build a mistrust, however we've misrepresented you, God, please cover over that. Lord, would you just remove every obstacle in their lives as well. We believe you for the coming revival, God. We believe you for a great harvest of souls. God, thank you for your promises that are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. And everyone said, amen. Amen. God bless you. Have a wonderful week.